Welcome into SBC This Week. I'm Brandon Porter. Laura Erlinson is here with me.
Hello.
Hi there. Beautiful spring weather. I guess that's right on time. Is it a little bit early? I don't know.
Yeah, a little early. I think we got a couple more weeks until it's officially spring.
Yeah. So lots of blooms, pretty time of year. Reminds me that Easter is coming just around the corner.
That's right. And we have just good news at the EC again this week, just all kind of stories happening, all kind of stuff happening. It's been a very busy week. We had really great reactions about the news about Jeff Orridge last week. Just very exciting.
Yeah, I think that's true. Every corner of the SBC, whether I've seen it on social media or heard it in meetings or one-on-one conversations, that news is being met with great excitement and enthusiasm. And so we look forward to the special call at EC meeting coming up when March 21st, I think it is.
21st. That's right. 2 weeks from today, right? Because we're recording this on March 8th. Yeah.
Yep. So, well, two weeks from yesterday.
Right. That's right. 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah. So in Dallas, Texas. So yeah,
you get to go. I don't get to go, but it'll be fun.
It will be a good time. So, all right. So Laura, mentioning Easter, that reminds us that it is Annie Armstrong Easter offering season, and we are coming to the end of their week of prayer. We've had some fantastic stories from the good folks at NAM this week, talking about the Easter offering.
Yes, really, really good. I would encourage people to read these stories. They are very compelling. Each of them is not real long, but they tell just a powerful story about a church planter somewhere in North America or a missionary. One of them focuses on a young woman who ministers to the homeless, and then a couple of them are church planters. One of them is a story about a Hispanic church planter, and they're just so compelling and also really good photography too. Mm-hmm. I know I always like to hype the photos that we get from IMB, and then this week we have been getting some beautiful photos from NAM as well with these week of prayer stories. So I would urge people to go check them out. They're really good.
Yep. Awesome. We've had several days this week, Laura, when we've struggled in that Baptist Press email that goes out every afternoon to figure out what is the lead story, because there have been some stories that
there have been some whoppers this week.
Yeah. On other days, they would have definitely been the lead story. But this was our lead story one day this week, and it was just so encouraging. Monthly CP totals for February were the highest that they've been in over 2 years. They have exceeded the monthly budgeted amount by more than 5% in February. And so a great celebration was had in the executive committee floors of 901 Commerce Street this week when those CP numbers came in.
That's right. You might remember, as we've reported these numbers the last couple of months, they have been below budget. And so the year-to-date number was a pretty good bit below budget, but this has made up for a good bit of that. And so now the year-to-date budget is right on track. It's just a little more than 1% under. So very encouraging news regarding the cooperative program and CP giving this month.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure to check that out for all the details. There are a lot of numbers. I put them in our notes, Laura, but I thought, how in the world would someone driving down the street listening to this podcast catch all those numbers?
Yeah, so nobody wants to hear us read 8-digit numbers on podcast.
So we'll just point you to that. You go find the story. So, all right. Another thing that we learned this week was about the SBC Resolutions Committee for 2024. We got that firm word from President Bart Barber this week of the members, and then also some details, Laura. This is a little bit of a different, it's kind of a curveball as we head into Indianapolis based on a change that was made by messengers last year in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's right. Typically, this story, we looked, it came out last year at the end of March, the last week of March, the list of the Resolutions Committee members. But this year, we kind of had to move it back a little bit. President Barber was needed to do that because the Resolutions Committee is going to have to begin its work earlier than it has done historically. Because, like you say, there was a rule change last year in New Orleans to allow messengers more time to consider the resolutions before they actually have to vote on them. So instead of seeing them the morning of the annual meeting in the daily bulletin, they will see them 10 days prior and have a chance to think about them, perhaps talk about them with their church. And then I guess make this a more informed decision in the room, whether those resolutions are something that we want or not.
Yeah, that's right. So we learned this week that Kristen Ferguson, who is an associate dean of educational effectiveness and the director of online education out at Gateway Seminary, has been selected to serve as the chair of that committee. And joining her on the resolutions committee will be Rob Collingsworth, Stacy Gaylord, he's a pastor in Montana, Tony Dockery, a pastor in Upland, California, Victor Chiarisabon, who we all know and love from Anaheim, California, who has many, many titles and degrees after his name. So
that's right. That's the guy that doesn't sleep.
That's right.
Because he also has children.
He does.
So I'm not sure how he does it. But.
That's right. So Sarah Rogers from South Carolina, I'm sorry, Byron McWilliams, Noble Pattyacre, Christopher Sanchez, and Eddie Lopez, who is the En Español pastor at First Baptist Church in Forney, Texas. And so we are excited about those folks serving on the resolutions committee. Now, this is important, Laura. So I'm just going to read it like it was pulled out of the story, because we had some confusion. We had a little.
Unintentional last year, but yes.
Little kerfuffle. How about that? Get that word in there.
That's the perfect place for that word. Yeah.
Yes. It felt like a kerfuffle something around the office when this was going on. So here we go. Ready? Resolutions can be submitted to the committee as early as April the 1st. So the portal is going to open just in a few weeks here, and no later than 20 days prior to the annual meeting. That means that they must be received by 11:59 p.m. on May 22nd. Now, I'm assuming that 11:59 p.m. is Central Time, Nashville time, right?
Yes, it would be Nashville time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there you go. Is there a country song, Living on Nashville Time? No,
there should be.
That's Tulsa time.
No, it's
time,
Tulsa. It's Tulsa.
So, anyway, so that change right there reflects the bylaw change, bylaw 20.
But Tulsa time is the same as Nashville time.
Is it?
I think
all the time. Do we all spring forward and fall back and all that together? Okay. All right. And then you mentioned the other information about the resolutions being made public no later than 10 days prior to the meeting, about them all appearing in the Daily Bulletin the first day that messengers gather, which will be, Lord willing, June the 11th in Indianapolis. And so there's some information about the resolutions committee. Now, Laura, we also had some updates. We had a couple of stories this week related to DOJ updates, and then that also garnered some responses. And we had a story on that as well from the ARITF, and Brad Eubank, who is a member of the ARITF, also talked to us. And then the Credentials Committee actually gave us a statement as we processed through sexual abuse reform and the things that had happened this week.
Mm-hmm. So, the executive committee released a statement March 6th saying that it had been informed by its counsel that the Department of Justice investigation into the executive committee was concluded. Mm-hmm. There would be no further action taken. And you may remember in August of 2022, so this has been a year and a half ago now, it was announced that the DOJ was looking into actions of the executive committee. And so this has kind of been a long happening in the background. The DOJ is notoriously tight-lipped about these things. And so there had been really no updates to speak of until March 6th, when we learned that the executive committee was no longer being investigated by the DOJ, that had been closed.
Yeah. So it's important to note there that if you think back to the August 2022 story that we ran when this first was announced, that in that story, the entity leaders and President Barber said multiple SBC entities were involved in the DOJ investigation. And what we heard this week from EC attorneys only relates to the EC. So
that's
it's
right.
Important to make that note as well. Now, the Credentials Committee information that's in the story that came out on March 7th talks about how many submissions they've received since 2019 that are sexual abuse allegations, and that is 80% of the submissions that the committee has received since 2019.
Right. They didn't say a number of submissions, but they did say that 80% of the submissions they have received relate to sexual abuse in some way. And that 65% warranted some sort of action or consideration on the part of the credentials committee. So like we've said several times on this podcast, those volunteers have a job. I mean, they have a pretty big job to do. There's a lot of things that they're tasked with doing.
So we definitely appreciate them providing that comment to us. And then also the ARITF issued a statement, and in that statement, they say, irrespective of any actions the Department of Justice may or may not take, the goal of abuse reform is to ensure SBC churches and entities are consistently able to protect and care for the vulnerable with the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. And one of the things, Laura, that so that came from the group, but then Brad Eubank talked to us specifically about the new curriculum, and we highlighted this just a couple of weeks ago when the ARITF gave their update at the executive committee meeting. And that curriculum is one of the pieces is going to be entitled Essentials, Sexual Abuse Prevention and Response. And he says he thinks that's going to be a huge help to the normative sized churches across the convention. So we'll be looking for that as we move toward the summer months.
Yeah, that will be officially, I think, unveiled in Indianapolis at the annual meeting.
Okay. All right. One of our entities held a trustees meeting, and we heard from them on that this week. Laura, Guidestone met in Dallas.
Yes, they did. And they named a new chief legal officer. He replaces Harold Lofton, who has been there a long time and is retiring this year. Stephen B. Allen is the new chief legal officer of Guidestone. He has been general counsel and assistant secretary for 1OK, a company out of, guess what? Tulsa, Oklahoma.
There you go.
So he's been living on Tulsa time for a while. He will oversee the legal and government affairs teams within Guidestone as the chief legal officer there. He's also the son of a Southern Baptist Home Mission Board church planner in New England. So good Southern Baptist boy.
Yeah.
There. And then they also talked about mission dignity at their trustee meeting. And they said that 2,908 individuals were served through Mission Dignity last year. So I thought that was a really powerful number too.
Yeah. Yeah. Always encouraged to hear about their focus and just how they continually keep their eyes on Mission Dignity, wanting to serve those individuals and those families who were involved there. Laura, we had a great piece from Tim Dowdy at NAM this week. He's the VP for evangelism there. And he wanted to remind us that this is a season for evangelism. Some key dates coming on the SBC emphasis calendar. And of course, Palm Sunday and Easter right in the middle of those.
Palm Sunday is also Personal Evangelism Commitment Day in the SBC. So that's March 24th. And Tim Dowdy says it's a great opportunity for pastors throughout North America to encourage church members to pray for the salvation of lost loved ones and friends by name, and for churches to provide personal evangelism training or worship services for small groups so that people can invite their friends. And so Palm Sunday is a great day to do that as you are intentional about praying for and maybe talking to specific people and maybe inviting them for Easter services the very next Sunday, March 31st. Of course, all churches go all out for Easter Sunday. And then the next Sunday, April 7th, is Baptism Sunday on the SBC calendar. So a great opportunity again for churches to go ahead and plan and put an emphasis on baptism that day and perhaps even baptize people that accepted Christ in the previous 2 weeks on these other emphasis Sundays. So a really comprehensive and thoughtful piece from Tim Dowdy in this week in VP.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Baptism Sunday, I think back to when I was serving at the Kentucky Baptist Convention and Dr. Gray did a video for the KBC churches on who should be baptized. And that video, pastors took that, they shared it. It generated lots of conversations. And that was just a helpful reminder to me for our local church and for other churches that just bringing this topic up helps people think about it. And it opens doors for you to have very profitable conversations with folks who, you know, maybe it's been on their mind for a while and they've just been too shy to talk about it. And you know, someone from a church leader, a pastor bringing that up, just opens the door for that conversation. So
yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So, all right, over to the International Mission Board. This week, we learned that Quintel Hill, who is the pastor of Multiply Community Church in Monroe, North Carolina, and the president of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, is planning to join the IMB as the African American Church Mobilization Strategist beginning April the 1st. And so, Laura, that sounds like a very important role, and very exciting role for Quintel Hill to take up there at IMB.
Yeah, I saw a lot of positive feedback about that decision as well. Mm-hmm. When I saw it shared on different places on social media, and everyone that commented just talked about what a great leader he's been there in North Carolina and what a great hire this is for IMB. And he'll be a great person to, just like his title says, to mobilize African American churches to the mission field and to with IMB. And I also, he has a history in BP as well, Quintel Hill does. Mm-hmm. We've run a couple stories about him. One in particular sticks in my mind that talked about his hunting hobby.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big hunter. And there's a particular photo, if I'm remembering it right, of him wearing his camo and stuff.
Yeah.
And so yeah, go search for Quintel Hill on the BP website, and there's some good stuff about him.
All right. He'll get along just fine with Dr. Paul Chitwood.
Yes, so, I'm sure he will.
That's exactly right. All right. Pastor's Conference this week, Laura, that was another big one. The hits just keep rolling. There's another one.
Indy is coming.
Uh-huh. Stephen Rummage, who's the senior pastor in Quail Springs at Quail Springs Baptist Church. That one's Oklahoma City. I wonder where that is. Which state's that in?
Oklahoma.
There you go.
So, there's a theme. I'm sensing a theme.
Yep, there you go. So he announced the theme of the pastor's conference last year, last August. It's going to be Faithful, Pursuing Your Mission, based on Revelation 17:14. And this week we learned who the speakers are going to be. And Laura, this is a great list.
It's a who's who. So here are the pastors that are speaking. Adam Dooley from Inglewood Baptist in Jackson, Tennessee. Steve Gaines, Jack Graham at Prestonwood, James Noble from Anderson, South Carolina, Bartholomew Orr from South Haven, Mississippi, Jimmy Scroggins from South Florida. And then the ones that aren't pastors, but that are Southern Baptist leaders in their own right, Greg Mann, who's the Affinity Group leader with IMB, Shane Pruitt from NAM, Robert Smith Jr., a preaching professor, legendary, I should say, preaching professor at Beeson Divinity School, Benny Wong, the Chinese English bilingual director at Gateway Seminary, and Herschel York, another preaching professor at Southern Seminary. So pretty packed lineup.
Absolutely. The room's going to be packed.
And Charles Billingsley is leading worship,
yep,
as if that weren't enough. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. There you go. So the room will be packed, I think, to hear those preachers.
Yes.
There will be some mighty fine preaching in Indianapolis come this summer. So, all right, Laura, we have a history moment that's very personal to you. This is not that history moment, but we did make some history at Baptist Press this week.
We did.
You know,
we are so busy. We do pause to have fun.
Yeah.
About once a week, I guess.
Yeah. We broke some ground.
This was our moment of fun this week.
Zip.
Scott Barkley was doing a story on pastors and whether or not they use AI and how they might or might not feel comfortable doing so. And so you want to take it from there? I don't know. So
we began to think about which image are we going to use. So, you know, you don't have a story unless you have an image. And so we spend quite a bit of time thinking about photos or graphics or stock photos, that sort of thing. And we knew we were going to have to get a stock photo to go with this story. And we began to wonder, what would it be like to ask AI to generate a photo to go with this? I guess it's not a photo, to generate an image.
Image, yeah.
To go with this. And so, you know, the interesting part is you have to come up, you have to tell it what you want. You have to put it all in there before it creates this image. And so it took us a few iterations of working through titles before we figured out exactly how this should be described, and it popped out the image. And so you'll be able to click on the link in the show notes. You can find it. The headline is Barna Study, Pastors Remain Cautious in Probing Uses of AI It's an interesting picture,
It is indeed.
but it's not perfect.
No.
Yeah.
So Scott had the idea and he came up with a few options. He at first started was using the word robot. And so
That's
some of
true.
his pictures are hilarious. Like I kind of wish I could have just posted all the iterations of this, because they were some of them were just amazing. But then there was one that a lot of times you see on AI where the hands are just not quite right. Like you just can't get the hands. Yeah. So there was a couple of those that Scott made that I'm like, oh, the hands are just weird. But then we thought, well, maybe we should leave it like that, because then it's obvious that it was made by AI, you know? So we went back and forth about it. But yes, maybe one day we'll just post the whole lot of these and they can see them all. But I think the one we ended up with was the clear winner.
It was the closest.
No, you're right. It's not
it was
exactly.
The closest.
Yeah.
The AI generator just could not figure out where to put the pulpit.
Yes.
It could not.
Yes. Why is he standing?
He's in the rear
back
of the
to
room.
The congregation.
No, it's strange that there is a platform. There are even flags on the stage, but the preacher and the pulpit are in the back of the room. It's strange.
Yeah,
so,
it's real weird.
And the robot photo that you just talked about, put the robot up on the middle of the pews, and people are even sitting, even though the pews are facing a certain, it's just really strange.
It was like in the round and people were facing the wrong way. It was very strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I thought the photo, honestly, I thought the photo kind of made the point of the story. And so here are a few of the paragraphs that I pulled from that. It says, according to the study, the Barna study, 3 out of 4 U.S. pastors agree that God can work through AI. Top ministry adjacent uses are for graphic design, marketing, and tracking church attendance and engagement. Now, this next paragraph, using AI for theological tasks, however, remains a concern among pastors. 43% see its potential for sermon prep and research, but only 12% say they're comfortable with using AI to actually write sermons. And we should probably have a conversation with that 12% right now.
Yeah, really.
Anyway.
Because I've seen AI get too many details wrong. So it's going to get
major details.
Yeah.
Major details. So, so anyway, it's interesting as we watch this progress and, try to figure out the usefulness of AI and then where we need to keep our finger on the pulse to pull back and say, not there. I don't think so. So, all right. So here we go. Here's our history moment for the week. And, Laura, it hits really close to home for you this week.
It does. I took a point of personal privilege this week. I did not even have to find a history moment. I just already knew about one.
You're living the history moment.
I'm living it, literally. Inglewood Baptist Church, which has been my home church since I moved to Nashville in 1999, is turning 100 years old this weekend. Mm. So that in SBC history, 100 years ago this weekend, March the 10th, a new church was chartered in Nashville, Tennessee, Inglewood Baptist Church, by a couple, Mr. and Mrs. R.J. Overall. Mm. And for the first few months, they met in a home that still stands on Shelton Avenue in Nashville. And after a few months, they bought some land and broke ground and built a basement auditorium. And for 20 years, Inglewood was known as the basement church.
Interesting.
In Nashville. And then in 1946, they broke ground on a sanctuary that we still meet in to this day. And on last Sunday, when they broke ground on that sanctuary and they installed the cornerstone, they put in a time capsule in 1946, and we pulled that out last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really neat to see. One of the things that was in there was little cards written by members at the time. And it was neat for me to see cards that had been filled out by people who I knew who are now gone to be with the Lord. But when I first started going to church there, in fact, some of them have only died within the last few years.
Wow.
People that were still just pillars of the church. And so it was neat to see that. And it's just been sort of an overwhelming, to be honest, season in our church as we prepared for this. Mm. We've had some amazing archivists in our church. I will say that we have closets and libraries and rooms just full of pictures and all kinds of artifacts and records and things that we have gone through and displayed all around the church. It's like a museum in the Welcome Center and down the hallways and things. It's just overwhelming. It's just been so fun. And we have just put so much work into this weekend, and it's going to be a great celebration. And for me, it's more, our church has never been very big. It was actually pretty big in the 50s and 60s. When we started, Englewood, this part of Nashville, it's now just part of downtown almost. Mm-hmm. But then it was rural. This was the rural part of town. It was
that?
All huge farmland, like all the tracts of land were several acres.
Wow.
And so my church was kind of a rural church when it started, and it's not been that for decades now. It's an urban, very urban, but, and it was never very big for about two decades in the mid-century. It was pretty big as Nashville just exploded and there weren't a whole lot of churches.
Yeah.
But it's never, other than that, those 20 years or so, it's always been just kind of a normative sized church. And yet it has had such an influence for the kingdom, both in Nashville and around the world. We had a mission, one of the, if you look up a list of IMB missionaries that has been killed on the mission field, one of those is from my church, a man named Archie Dunaway, who was killed by guerrilla fighters in modern day Zimbabwe. Back then it was Rhodesia, in the 1970s. And he and his wife served in Africa for 31 years. And his funeral service was at my church. And there's still a Sunday school class of older ladies called the Dunaway class at my church. And we got a letter written by the SBC executive committee. I have a couple connections in the president's office. And so, so I got them to write me a letter, but they'll do this for anybody. It wasn't just for me. But the letter they went through and added up all of our giving. When you add up all of our CP giving, and Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong and all the giving, it's nearly $3 million.
That's awesome.
And it's not, like I say, not a very big church. And more than 3,000 people baptized. And just think about, that's just at the church.
Yeah.
But think about all the baptisms around the world as a result of that $3 million. And so it's just so neat to think about, as we think about the Annie Armstrong offering this week and about just our cooperative efforts, just how real. It just seems very real to me right now, because we've been going through all of this, and I'm just a tiny little piece of this really, really long story, really big story.
Yeah.
And it's just been a fun time, and I'm very excited about this weekend. But I also, I have to be honest, I'll be glad when it's over, because I'm real tired.
Yeah.
We've been working hard.
Yeah. Big weekends take a great toll on the staff. That's definitely for sure. And those key volunteers who help pull it together. So just an encouraging, thank you for sharing that, Laura. Just so encouraging to hear that perspective, hear about standing on the shoulders of others and generations who have come
before.
And the impact that they still have today, whether or not you're able to call their name or not, they have made an impact in the generations that have come behind them. So
it's just been humbling to see their pictures a lot of times, even video that we have found from the 30s and 40s. It's just been very humbling to think, we're standing on their shoulders. It's really,
that's
good.
So good. So good. Well, thank you very much again for sharing that. Thank you for listening. We're so glad to have you here at SBC this week, listening to us week in and week out. Again, lots of things happening that you can check out, things you need to see. There are statistics. There are some bullet point lists, things like that aren't the greatest for a podcast, but they would certainly be helpful to you in your ministry, wherever the Lord has you serving. So make sure to check those out this week at Baptist Press.
Yeah, as always, there were lots of stories we couldn't even get to today. We just didn't have time, but I would encourage you, especially those Annie Armstrong Week of Prayer stories, just be encouraged, read those stories, look at those photos, watch those videos, and be reminded of our cooperation and just how miraculous it is. And check it all out at baptistpress.com. Thanks for listening.